This episode of Coffee with Kenobi is sponsored by Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. Celebrating its second year, the app is free to download from iTunes or Google Play. Collect and trade everything from legendary 1977 Star Wars cards to new cards featuring exclusive content from Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, and much more. All from the comfort of your mobile device. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for.
Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are, with Dan Z and Corey Club. The podcast you're looking for. This is. Yes.
For an entire generation, people have experienced Star Wars the only way it's been possible, on the TV screen. But if you've only seen it this way, you haven't seen it at all.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
We've been waiting for you.
The Force is strong here, even stronger than the coffee.
At last! Where have you been?
Welcome to Coffee with Kenobi. Here are your hosts, Dan Z and Corey Club.
So here we are, back in business, Corey Club, the Rogue Celebration with 3 weeks to go. Very exciting. And a lot of things have come up since our last show.
It's funny that happens, huh?
Kind of weird going weekly, isn't it? I love it.
It's fun. It's a little different. I mean, but I find it interesting because folks listening in, this is kind of normally what you and I do. We text back and forth like this.
Right.
And it's like kind of an ongoing conversation each week. About what the news had come up, kind of gather everything for a show. And this is kind of like the kind of a split up section pieces of kind of that conversation on how it would go, I guess, through text or through phone calls and whatnot. So
sure.
Kind of fun to do that.
I agree with you, little buddy. Mm. Let's jump right in. The first thing that I think we should bring up is there's a lot of stuff that came out about the new Han Solo film. Bob Iger had a USC Tech conference on Thursday. Did you hear or see any of this stuff?
I haven't seen this. This is new to me, so I'm going to hear my first reactions here. Yeah.
All right, this is going to be real. Okay, so he said he's definitely leaving in 2019, and they keep extending him, which is good. He's obviously been great for Star Wars fans, but he's seen Episode 8, and he said they're not changing Episode 8 at all to deal with the death of Carrie Fisher because they're keeping her performance the way it is. And I like that. I mean,
yeah, I do too.
I haven't seen it, but
it stays true to the character itself.
Yes, yes.
You're not saying to alter anything that's like, I want to quote unquote real life. I mean, you're still in that. You can step in that saga and live, you know, see Leia on the screen. You know, it's not Carrie Fisher. It's Leia, Princess Leia, General Leia.
Right.
That's who it is. That's who it should be. In that moment.
Well, honestly, if you were focusing on the actress,
right,
then instead of the character, then you're going to miss the entire movie. I mean, imagine if when we went and saw The Dark Knight and Heath Ledger had already passed on, if you just kept focusing on that instead of appreciating the performance, well, you would have missed a lot.
Sure. So, well, the other thing too is like, yeah, it's a good point. You're kind of in the back of your head. You're thinking, you know, missing Carrie. Obviously, we will obviously going through those emotions and knowing that she's gone. But I think seeing her act in a way that's un quote unquote enhanced. I guess I don't know if that's the right term, but if it's altered to deal with, you know, the storyline as is, it really makes me feel like they're. The storyline is strong as it is. So
yeah, they say they're not altering a single thing. I think that's very good. So here's the stuff that I'm looking forward to your reactions on. There's been quite a buzz about it, of course. It's going to follow his life from the age of 18 to 24. And it's going to include acquiring a certain vehicle and meeting a certain Wookiee.
Right, so that
we knew. Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
But here's the thing that we didn't know. It's also going to discover how he got his name. First thoughts on that?
His name.
Yeah.
Now, see, and my first reaction is his name is as in like.
Well, it sounds like they're saying Han Solo is a euphemism, not his actual real name.
No, well, see, I took it as more of like it's like he's known throughout the galaxy as Han Solo, the guy that, you know, save a Wookiee and got, you know, won the Millennium Falcon type thing. You know, he's garnering a name for himself. So it's getting pushed around here and there, and people are learning his name of his exploits and whatnot. So that's how he's building his name. But as we meet him in episode four, he's kind of a nobody in a sense. He's kind of living on the back end of things, doing his own thing secretly, and then maybe he rises through his name, and this is kind of what they're talking about, and then kind of what goes on there. I don't want to speculate too much, but you know, it is interesting the way they phrase that, how he got his name. I don't know. I always find it weird. What are your thoughts?
I mean, when I hear the word Solo, I always thought that can't possibly be an actual surname, but maybe, I mean, if his name isn't Han Solo, then I mean, what is it? Is it like, was his name George?
And they changed George. Well, here's the other thing too. It's, you know, when you come with a character as a scoundrel or a smuggler or, you know, an adventurer of some sort, you think of Han Solo. So everybody knows that name, in and out of a cinema, you know, and people replicate that or try to replicate it. He's broke the mold type thing, but I wonder if that's the kind of the case in the galaxy, you know, he's building his name, but is it like a pirate name type thing? Like, is that kind of a Jason Bourne type thing? Not that he's a spy, but more of that he's like it's a code name, or it's a captain's name or a pilot name or a name he uses on the outskirts to, you know, just build up that reputation for some reason, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's odd. Weird. It's odd, but in the best way possible, it doesn't concern me. I think it's surprising. I always focus on when they have these stories, make sure it's a story that needs to be told. Don't just throw in wrinkles just to put your own stamp on it. I feel like comic books fall into that a lot, or used to.
Oh, good call. Good call. Yeah.
About the character, is more about what am I going to add to this to make it different, or to put my own trait on it. I just find that to be, it just don't think it honors the story. But they have not had any single missteps, so
yeah,
let's see.
I'm interested too. I mean, you brought up comic books. The biggest one for me when growing up, I was a big Wolverine fan, and for the longest time he was Logan. That's who he was. That's all he knew, and they would do like a backstory on him, and his name was James Howlett.
That's right.
So I mean, but it's almost like there are eras of different names in the sense. So this is the era of James Howlett. This is the era of Logan. This is the era of Wolverine, and so on. And now he's Old Man Logan. So it's a generational thing, I guess, in a sense. But doesn't just deconstruct his storyline. It enhances it in a certain way. Do I like it as a fan? I don't know. It depends on how well it's done or well how it's added to the layers of the character.
Sure. And they did say also that Woody Harrelson is definitely going to be a kind of a villainy mentor type, like not necessarily villainy, but more like he's a criminal, not a bad guy, but a criminal.
So. See, I see it kind of like he's kind of like, now that help me with the characters, like an Oliver Twist type, you know, Han Solo is Oliver Twist, and you know, he's looking to kind of make his way, and he learns into who's the other boy that's the older boy to kind of takes him under his wing.
Is it Corey Club?
I don't know. No. I can completely
understand. I haven't read Oliver Twist in 1,000 years, so I'm not sure, but I know what you're talking about. You got to pick at a pocket or two. Is that we're going to start singing a song?
I hope not. No song.
Let's talk about Twin Suns.
Sure.
We don't usually talk about individual Rebels episodes because we leave that to the expertise of Mr. Aaron Harris, host of Rebels Reactions. But we have to talk about Twin Suns. I've gone out and said that it is my favorite episode of Rebels.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if I still feel that strongly, but if it's not my favorite, it's top two or three. I mean, I know that's like, you got to watch this. You got to watch this. What do you think?
Yeah, you're kind of begging me to, you got to watch this episode. And I'm behind, I'll be honest. I've been busy and had a chance to watch it. But I did get a chance to sit down and watch Twin Suns. And I'd heard the rumors online. I didn't want to be fooled by folks out there talking about it. So I wanted to check it out for myself.
Did you hear rumors about Maul?
I heard rumors about Maul.
People, let's just do a spoiler warning now. You haven't seen Twin Suns and you've managed to avoid the internet, then stop listening to us.
Stop,
and go watch
stop
it
now.
For real. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to give you about a 5-second delay here. Wow, do you have a mixer? It's good.
Oh, sorry. That was my
okay, mouth. So Maul dies. Did you know he was going to die before you saw the show?
I did not.
Oh, good.
I did not know.
I didn't either. I was glad. I would have been so frustrated about that.
I had the idea of my possibility. You know, it just seemed natural in the essence of the character Maul and what he was driving for. His kind of his insanity, his tornness about who he is, where he needs to go, what he needs to do type thing. And to have it end in that essence is only fitting as anything, I think, for him and his who he is. I mean, I always didn't like when they brought him back in Clone Wars. I was like, oh, come on, this guy should be dead. I mean, like, how many times does he have to die to, you know, get the point across? But, I mean, obviously to see him go up against Obi-Wan Kenobi on Tatooine, I mean, the whole episode, I guess I'll say, in a sense, was a little bit like, really? I mean, this is, you know, Ezra knows exactly where to go, and this kind of all works out perfectly. I don't know. It just seemed a little forced. No pun intended.
Really?
Yeah.
So it was not, it's fair to say it was not your favorite episode of all time.
No, but I will say this. I believe Stephen Stanton deserves an Oscar.
Seriously.
I'm dead serious. He was incredible. Incredible.
When I first heard that, I thought, he sounds like Alec Guinness. He sounds like Alec Guinness. And it wasn't an exciting thing where we're just overhyping it because we're just fans. It sounded uncanny and fantastic. And I really thought it was classy. I did this little column called Talking Points where as soon as the episode premieres, I just got on there and I just talked about different things that hit me, just kind of bullet points with a little bit of expansion. I don't want to do a review show. And I don't want to do a review post because that's what Craig Dickinson and Aaron Harris do so well. Yeah. There are just certain things I think that from a critical analytical perspective, as well as just things to sort of look for upon a second viewing or maybe a first viewing that blew me away. One of them was the voice of Stanton as Obi-Wan Kenobi. And I thought it was very classy because we love James Arnold Taylor. We love Stephen Stanton. And now we know they both do an amazing Obi-Wan Kenobi, but they do him in different phases of his life. And nowhere have I felt the difference. I always thought the Ben Kenobi versus Obi-Wan Kenobi was sort of a cosmetic thing. But now I feel like they are different identities.
And we'll talk about two names.
Yeah.
We just talked about that, yeah.
Exactly. Because when Jad is on, he's the younger Obi-Wan Kenobi right after, you know, the Jedi Purge or during the Jedi Purge. And then it's Ben Kenobi. He's been on the desert for a while. He's older. He's wiser. He's much more humbled. He is different. So it makes sense that his voice would change and he would age himself. I mean, the desert has to age you.
For sure.
And especially when you have to wear giant robes all the time.
And ride crazy monsters, yeah.
That was cool, riding the dewback from A New Hope. Yeah. I thought that was so cool. Ben was amazing. How did you feel? I mean, there's little things I want to talk about with sort of the landscape, but how did you feel about how Maul died?
You know, I did not expect like a huge, glorious, you know, flipping backflips, you know, sword swinging, masterful lightsaber battle. It wasn't anything I expected as far as like, because I knew it was coming up. They ignited lightsabers. And I thought, you know, at this point, I'm thinking, you know, Ben Kenobi, who fought Darth Vader on the Death Star.
Yeah.
He's very controlled. He's very sincere about his actions. He's swift. He knows he's not going to make a misstep. He's going to make a strike or defend himself in a way that's going to be an advantage. I mean, he's very esteemed, I guess, in that way. So he's learned a lot. He's not as well, I don't know. I'm saying too much, but the way he stood in his form was he, you know, did the whole two fingers point thing was like, almost like, no, that's the old way I did things. Now this is the new me.
Totally
he changed his stance, looked Maul right in the eyes, and kind of said, okay, take your best shot. And he gave him his best shot. He really let him in. And there was like almost like you've almost killed yourself. You've defeated yourself in a sense before he even got there. That's how I felt. But like the way it went down so quickly, I was happy and sad, you know, because I want to see more. And I didn't want to have a big drawn out quote unquote death scene of Maul kind of saying all the things he could have done But the way
death
was, right? Yeah, exactly. But I mean, the way he did die was satisfying to me. And the way he said, so I'll kind of leave that up there. But
he couldn't have been around because he can't be around for New Hope. He just can't.
No,
it would have been a disservice to the legacy of the mythology.
I agree.
That transition you talked about, I found that particularly poignant.
Thanks.
Because he does that little point, the two finger Three Stooges point, and then you see him transition his pose into that of Sir Alec Guinness.
Yep.
And I thought, there it is. That's the transition. This is what people were concerned with, the different fighting styles, because clearly the fighting styles are drastically different from the two trilogies, and age is a part of it and things of that nature. But I thought that was really powerful. And I like that it was three in British literature. This isn't British, but in British literature, or in most literature, the number three is sacred because of the Trinity or Jesus rising on the third day. So three is just sort of a number that resonates with us culturally, whether we realize it or not. And so I like that there was just three strokes. There's been a lot of talk about the fact that this is what a samurai duel is very good as well. Dave Filoni talked about that on Rebels Reactions. Not Rebels Reactions. I'm sure Aaron wishes that. I wish that too. I meant on Rebels Recon. So I liked it. And after it happened, I thought it was the build-up. It was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be intense. And then it was done right away, and I thought, of course. Yeah, that had to happen. Yeah. And I felt emotional about it, but I didn't see it coming. But after it happened, I thought, that just makes sense. I mean, I don't know how else it could be. Obi-Wan, I don't think it diminishes Maul. I think it shows that Maul is so consumed with anger. A good friend of our show asked me, do you think that Maul just sort of gave up and he went there to die? And I said, no, I think he went there for revenge. And he's so clouded by revenge and anger that he missed out on his focus. And he didn't have any focus. And Obi-Wan is so centered and so calm and so aware of his purpose and is not this distraction.
They're opposites.
The Zabrak from Dathomir, they are opposites.
I mean,
they're twin sons in their own right.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's almost like they could have taken two different paths. Mm-hmm. And where we see Obi-Wan centered and ready for his journey, you know, he's taking whatever may come his way, where Maul is really kind of wayward and has nothing guiding him. He, like I said, all he has is his rage or his revenge. And we see that where that gets him.
Right. So we probably should move on from that, but there's just a lot there.
It's a huge episode. I mean,
yeah. So I would give it an A+ all the way, 100%, because I thought it was amazing. The stuff with Ezra and Chopper in the desert really spoke to me, especially when it seemed like Chopper was powering down and he may not power up ever again, how that impacted Ezra. But just the way that Ezra and Chopper were talking to each other as Ezra was walking one way and Chopper would look at Ezra and then he'd look away and he looked back. It just reminded me so much of A New Hope and C-3PO and R2 at the beginning. I thought that was so brilliant. I just love that. Not to mention the fact that just the way Obi-Wan and Maul's conversation about the Chosen One. There's been a lot of consternation about that. Does that change for you who the Chosen One is?
No, I don't think so. Because in their mind, overall, I'm gonna give it an A as well. I mean, with Stephen Stanton doing such great work, and the showdown was fun, and Ezra's as more I think about it, I mean, I felt he was forced in the essence of going to find Obi-Wan, and he found him so quickly, and that was kind of a little forced. But
I don't know. But how do you? We don't really know what passages of time are in that episode. Plus, Ezra knows the Force, and Maul was calling him to him through the holocron and their connection because he wanted to draw out Obi-Wan. So I found that incredibly plausible.
No, that's fair. I mean, it's just, I don't know. To me, it just felt a little forced in a way that was, I guess I want to say it this way. Like, I had a hard time crossing over that much into episode 4 for me. And that felt like, I was like, they're just wading a little too far into some of these characters that I really kind of shift those timelines and my mind somewhere else. But they're not. I mean, they're all together, but it just seems like it's just bumping up into each other and feels a little uneven for me. I'd still give it an A. Like I said, it's a great episode. There's a lot going on. As far as the last line of Maul's dialogue there, were they talking about the same person?
Well, I mean,
I don't know.
It seems to me to indicate that they're talking about Luke. Is he the chosen one? Yes. And he says that he will, what does Maul say? He will make things right. Something along those lines.
Something like that. Yeah.
I thought for a while, I thought, oh my gosh, Luke is the chosen one. This changes everything. But Pablo and other people, including Leland Chi as well, have said online, just because a fictional character believes something doesn't mean that it's true. He didn't say believes it, just because they say something. So does Obi-Wan believe that Luke is the chosen one? It would make sense to me that Obi-Wan does think that, because he saw Mustafar and Anakin and he gave up on him when I left, you know.
Right. That's all he knows about it. I mean, like, if you think about it, I mean, like, he doesn't expect to turn Vader anymore. It's over for him.
Correct. So Luke is not doing balance. In a way, he does, but I still think Anakin is the chosen one.
No, I agree. I think Anakin is the chosen one. Yes, I agree with that too. It's almost like saying, who's the chosen one right now, in a sense? And it makes silly sense, right? But like,
no,
and
I knew.
And in that timeline right there, that little era, yes, it's Luke. He's the chosen one to move ahead and change things. Right now, yes, he's the chosen one to change things. Is he chosen one to rebalance the Force? No, I would say no.
But Maul doesn't know about Anakin to Vader. He doesn't know that. Most people don't. So he believes that because there was only a few times in Maul's career, a little bit in Clone Wars and a little bit in one of the comics, the Son of Dathomir series, where you see that he's more of a victim than an aggressor, even though he plays the aggressor part probably for 90% of his life. So you get a little bit of pathos and you sympathize with Maul because you're like, oh no. And Obi-Wan, when he kills him, there's no like bravado or chest thumping. It's more like, I'm at peace. This man has died and I grieve for him. Like, it was actual emotion, like sincere, not affection, but compassion. And I thought that really matured Obi-Wan.
It's brotherly compassion.
Yeah.
Like he was his enemy in battle, but also his brother in the Force. You know, that makes kind of sense to me, where he did strike him down, but like kind of caught his body in a sense of, cause he was, had admiration for him in a sense. He was a lost soul type thing, but you know, I think he still feels that way for Vader as well. He's a lost soul he can't reach, but he still has respect for him.
I don't agree with your brother in the Force thing, because it's more like Cain and Abel than anything, but.
Well, I guess I'm just saying it right.
They have a kinship.
There's a kinship. Yeah, that's a better way to say it.
I mean, they both know the damage that the Emperor can do. We had an email today, Rebel Jedi Inc. That's who it came from. And they said, do you guys think that Maul is a Jedi now, since what he said at the end of the Twin Suns episode? I think there's more to it than that. I mean, you're not a Jedi because of a sentence. I mean, yes, Anakin became a Jedi at the end, but it was more than a language. It was, he defeated the dark side for all intents and purposes. He took out the Emperor. That would be an act of redemption.
Well, you even said too, Maul's reasoning to go to Tatooine and find Ben Kenobi was rage and revenge. Those are things of the Sith nature. I mean, like, he wasn't fighting a feeling of gratitude or forgiveness or repentance. It was definitely an all out rage. I'm going to strike you down and kill you. Whether you like it or not, you know, it's just, I don't think he was a Jedi, if that's the question. He was probably at peace at the end. I felt like he was at peace.
Yeah, I did too.
If that kind of answers the question a little bit too. I mean, because he was.
He doesn't want to suffer anymore. Rage and revenge, that eats you up.
Exactly.
That eats you up big time. All right, so we probably need to move on from that.
Sure.
Let's do a little celebration conversation. And my goodness. Celebration news. This is like Christmassy, really. There's so much that comes out about Celebration, you know, when you get closer and closer. So before we go on to some hardcore Celebration talk, because there is a lot to talk about, we need to talk about the Star Wars Podcast Awards. They're back. in 2017, 2016, the podcast wars were very good to us. We felt very blessed, and we're excited that we are actively involved here too. So we were nominated. Our Coffee with Kenobi Network, Corey, was nominated. Yeah. And let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 categories. The best female host. And as you could probably guess, that would be Amy Radcliffe, the awesome Amy Radcliffe from Lattes with Leia. We've got you nominated again for cover art for,
yes,
for our awesome logo. I hope you win. I don't know how to put it. I mean, it's one of my favorite things about our show from the beginning is this logo.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I'm honored to be nominated, and may the best podcast win. So
there you go.
Absolutely.
And then we've got In Literature Comics with Kenobi is nominated. Our network is nominated for Best Podcasting Network. And then Aaron got a huge nod. And Rebels Reactions is nominated for Best TV Review Show. So that is fantastic. Voting is open through April 1st. There will be a link in our show notes. You can just go on to our website and click on Podcast Awards, and it will pop up for you. But it's great. I love how fandom gets involved with this, and it's just a great time to showcase a lot of amazing work that's going on out there.
I completely agree, and I was amazed at some of the podcasts that are kind of cropping up and make a name for themselves. It's really pretty cool.
Love it.
A lot of folks are doing a lot of great things and have a lot of fun with Star Wars, and I couldn't be more happy. So again, Star Wars Podcast Awards, check them out. And they'll be announcing the winners at Celebration Orlando.
And speaking of Celebration Orlando, these transitions, you're on it.
How about that? You like that? Yeah.
So obviously we're very excited about some news for the podcast page. We have some official confirmation, and I want to talk about that. But I think the thing that got me most excited Star Wars related this week, the podcast stage was pretty high up there. But for me, let's do this. On the count of three, my wife and I do this when we're trying to decide like where we're going to go to eat or just like, it's just, we have a lot of fun with that now. I'm going to count to three. And as soon as I say three, I want you to blurt out the thing you're most excited about for Star Wars over the last week. Okay.
What I'm most excited about?
The news that impacted you the most.
It's going to be the same thing. We're gonna
I know. I just want to see how this sounds. Okay, ready?
Okay.
1, 2, 3. Freddy.
Yeah.
I'm very...
Is that too fanboy?
Last week, I was quite certain that he wasn't going to go. I was wrong. I'm so happy that I was wrong. Tell me what we know about this, dude.
Sure, Dan. I mean, this is kind of great news, I think, because
I love it.
I think it's Freddie to us is a good friend of the show. He's always been great with us. And again, to have him be available to come to Orlando and greet fans and do signings and pictures and stuff.
Yeah,
it's gonna be so much fun, and not only is he coming, but he's bringing his wife too, Sarah Michelle.
Insane, who is like an icon in the world of popular culture.
Sure,
for the amazing Buffy the Vampire Slayer, that still my second favorite show of all time, first being Seinfeld. But the fact that you didn't know that?
No.
Oh yeah, Seinfeld, the greatest.
No, I mean your second favorite. I didn't know it was your second favorite.
Oh, Buffy. Yeah, Buffy is brilliant. I could easily do a. Buffy podcast.
Can I make an admission here?
Yeah.
I've never seen Buffy.
No way.
No. I mean, I've seen it here and there just in snippets and clips.
Absolutely brilliant. It's Joss Whedon, the metaphors in that show and the amount of surprises in every episode and the characters and their growth. It's brilliant. It's a masterpiece. And I don't throw that kind of thing around. It's true.
Wow.
So Freddie, the thing that's cool about this, besides the fact that we get to see him again, is that last time he went for Anaheim, of course, we got to chat with him, but that was just a fun, awesome bonus.
Yeah.
And so at the convention, he was on the big panel. There's a press conference and a few little interviews and things, and he was done. But for this, he's going to be there for multiple days, and he's actually going to be in the Topps autograph area. And he's signing pictures and he's
doing photos,
pictures with people. And then there's the thing where Freddie and Sarah are doing it together at the same time. And Corey and I didn't hesitate. We already got tickets for that. Are you kidding me?
We couldn't help it. We couldn't help it. I mean,
oh man,
it's so cool. I mean, like we said, he's a great a friend of the show, and we admire his work. Obviously, yeah. We admire Sarah as well. And to meet them both, it'll be a great moment for Orlando. I think I'm excited for it, and it's one of the things that like you kind of list your things in your top 10 of what you want to do or what you want to do and see. And this was definitely one that I was kind of like hoping would come to fruition, and here it is. So I'm excited. I really am. It's gonna be cool to see him and visit again and speak for a little bit, and I don't know, hang out. I don't know what's gonna happen. It could be high fives all around. That's what I'm looking forward to.
It's great. I know Aaron was super excited about it too, because that I didn't see that coming. Let's talk about the Celebration podcast stage.
Sure. Yep.
We were fortunate to be chosen again for it. They haven't said the number of the room number where it is, but we're going to get to that later because I think I found it.
Okay.
But we're going to be on Thursday, first day of the show, from 4:30 to 5:30. Mm-hmm. So we hope to see everyone there. We have already tried to line up a pretty special guest, and we've got plans for some cool stuff. Last time, we talked about it before, but it was one of the highlights of my fandom. It was just an amazing thing, and now we don't have to worry about seeing a trailer and then running across the
convention
to be the very
that's
first.
That's one of my favorite memories.
Shows I love it. To record, yeah.
But like you said, we're pumped. We're excited. The live show thing is interesting to me because I'm a little camera shy, if you will. It's cool experience because it's nice to be able to see everybody in one room and get to just enjoy things, things we've seen so far, talk about what's up and coming. And then, like I said, to have a live show and just interact with fans live like that and get their perspective. I think last time we had people come up and ask questions, and we had a little segment with Dak. It was a lot of fun. And it was just unique. And just like I said, Dan, you made a good point. It was just a great time in fandom for me. That's something I'll never forget. And this year, I think we're going to do it bigger and better. I don't know what's up really. I mean, we kind of have to start to make it editing and making a script out and, you know, getting things together. And
it was so much fun. We had a lot of people who came last time, standing room only, which was great. They actually had to... Yep. There was actually a line out the door, which I thought was surreal. And Leland Chi came, and there's so many. We met a lot of the other podcasters were there. It was wonderful. So we can't wait to see you all there. It's going to be quite a fun show. Speaking of fun, Corey, you know what I think is a lot of fun? The Star Wars Tops digital card trader collecting app. It's a lot of fun, as you know. We've talked about it a lot. They are our official sponsor. Yeah. And one of the things I love about it is the variety. The fact that every day I can go on the app and different things, different images from the world of Star Wars are there. They're constantly creating new things. Like they have schematics now for some of the vehicles, which I think is really, really fun. What are you kind of hunting for these days?
Yeah, it's interesting because they've got so much going on. If you're a fan of any type of era of Star Wars, you mm-hmm. can kind of get those cards or at least trade for them. That's the other thing that's cool too. It's like they've been doing this for 2 years essentially, and so there's a whole host of different types of cards you can go and look at. You can actually go on and look at all the cards that are available to go and search for. My favorite ones are the Alien right now, the Alien Underground. I like the they've been releasing some old style Rebels. Or I'm sorry, old style. Rogue One character cards.
Oh, the new, like, yeah, the new.
Kind of look like they're based Rebel on the classics. 70s style.
Yeah,
the Rebel classics. So it's pretty cool to see those. Plus, you know, ships. They've got
schematics,
original artwork. They've got like posters. They've got like the classic trading card styles. They've got like autographs. I mean, there's tons and tons of stuff.
They've been spotlighting the different Rogue One character posters too. You remember back at
Saturday
when we. We're breaking down those posters and trying to figure out.
I do remember that.
I was chasing Mason.
Yeah, you were chasing around your Mason, and I was trying to describe them all. Also, trying to be artistic, but you know.
Hey, you did a good job.
Thanks.
And let's go back real quickly. You say you're camera shy, and I understand. I respect that, but you always do a great job on these live shows.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I mean,
it's true.
Maybe it's the
on YouTube is the one from Rogue One that is actually the video of us doing the show.
That's
and you
right.
did a great job
on YouTube. Yeah.
You went viral, I think.
Did I go viral? That's great. I didn't even know. I didn't see it. It was so viral. It was past me.
It was because you had a cold. That was the virus. It wasn't related to YouTube.
Hilarious. Anyway, if folks are looking to hop on and check out Star Wars card collecting app from Topps, go on iTunes, go on Google Play. It's available for free. Again, you can get daily credits. Check out what they've got there and start collecting all the things you love.
Yeah, you got your favorite characters, memorable scenes, key moments. As you said, iTunes and Google Play. Every day you open packs from the cantina, you get a specified amount of credits every day automatically delivered to you. Mm-hmm. So you always have options and all these different sets to choose from. Like you said, whether you want like the classic Star Wars, Force Awakens, Rogue One, Clone Wars, Rebels, it is all there. And it's everything that you love in collecting from a galaxy far, far away.
This is the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps, and these are the cards you're looking for. So, Dan, getting back to Celebration in Orlando, it's coming up. Days are counting down, and I seem to be getting emails all the time, saying my flight is being, it's counting down the days type thing. I can see 21 days or such, whatnot. It's cool. It's cool, so nice fun. Little reminder. But one of the greatest things we have to do as a podcast is meet great folks online, fans, and a lot of the times, we can just interact with them digitally on Facebook, on Twitter, and get to talk to them or get to know their thoughts on certain topics and things. But Star Wars Celebration is a place to be able to come together as a community and enjoy each other and have a good time, meet each other for the first time or second time, and I think I'm looking forward to that as well. But one of the things we've kind of set up as a podcast and in conjunction with Jedi News UK and Podcast 66 is a Star Wars podcast meetup.
That's right.
And it's pretty exciting.
We've Mark and I have been talking about this for a little bit.
Cool.
And we were very pumped because it's hard, first of all, before we even talk about it specifically, it's hard to find time at Celebration because there's so many wonderful things going on, so many things to choose from, and you can't possibly select them all. And plus, some of them are more expensive. We wanted to do one big ticket item, and so the 501st party is the same night as this meetup, and we didn't want to do that. We don't want to have to make people choose. I mean, obviously, if you have a choice, you should go to the 501st party because it's awesome. Everybody's going to be there. Weird Al Yankovic is performing.
Yeah, I heard about that.
It's awesome. But, it costs some money. And
sure.
We had already made a conscious decision that we were going to go to Star Wars Galactic Nights at Hollywood Studios, get the whole theme park thing, because we're going to be in Orlando. So as much as it pains me to miss the 501st party, that's kind of where our money was that. And so that being said, so we chose Galactic Nights. So that was Friday. That's Friday. Thursday is the Drowning in Moonlight Memorial Gala, which we're going to be at.
Yep.
Tyler Westhouse has been so awesome about creating that. And he's, of course, from Star Wars Podcast Alliance. He just joined Aaron Harris on Rebels Reactions.
That's cool.
But it's great. But then we had Saturday open. It's our last night. You and I are leaving pretty early Sunday morning, get back to our families for Easter. And so we just wanted to do something where we could see as many people as possible in a concentrated area because it's Celebration. It's so vast, and there's just so many things going on that you're probably going to run to people you want that you've been talking to online and that you're looking forward to seeing. But because there's so much going on, this is just kind of more fun. We had so much fun doing this in Anaheim, didn't we?
Yeah, it's cool because it's a place to kind of let your hair down, if you will.
Yeah,
and be able to relax, a relaxed setting, something that's it's just a little less informal. And you're not trying to, like you said, trying to, get through the crowd and work your way up to find somebody or look for somebody. This is kind of an isolated place. Like I said, it's on a Saturday.
Disney Springs. You've been to Disney Springs, right?
I have. Oh, yeah. I was just there a month and a half ago.
Did you go by where this is going to be? It's going to be at Jack Lindsay's Hangar Bay.
I did not. That's the one place I did not get a chance to go to. So it was my first time.
So the trick is, as we mentioned before, because we talked about on our last regular show that we were going to do some sort of a meetup. And we screwed it up because we thought it was a different night. We thought the Galactic Nights was on Saturday. It was on Friday. So again, see back to the beginning of this little segment where we talked about this get-together. We had to find somewhere. And Jock Lindsey's is pretty significant to Lucasfilm because that is... Yeah. He's, of course, the pilot at the beginning of Raiders of the Lost Ark with the pet snake Reggie when Indiana Jones is trying to escape from the Hovitos, and he successfully does so. making cinematic history. So the story goes, and Pablo made the background story, and this is that John and Indy were in Florida going after something, and Jock just kind of fell in love with the place, and he opened a bar, and there's all kinds of cool little hidden gems in there. So it's going to be Saturday, April 15th, from 8:30 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. Eastern time. And as you said, Jedi News UK is going to be there, Podcast 66. And honestly, anybody, any podcasts, any podcasters, any fans of podcasts,
yeah,
we'd love to see you. There's a, on our show notes, there's an RSVP, there's a Facebook event for it. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a nice way to kind of close out celebration.
Yeah, it, like you said, Dan, it's cool to be able to organize these things and kind of come to a nice kind of come to a nice ending to the celebration for us. I guess it might be one of the last things we do. As far as, you know, experiencing celebration, but again, it's a nice send off. It's a nice way to you know, see a lot of the folks that we've been talking to online and same in person.
There's already some people that have signed up on Facebook for it too. I'm very excited about that. It'd be great to see a lot of our friends, new and old. So it's going to be fun. I hope that everybody considers going.
Yeah.
We'd love to see you. I think Corey would love to buy you a beer.
Sure. Or a good hearty high five. That's what I'm going for. So
that's what you keep telling us.
Well, I give them out for free. So
speaking of free and how that's obviously not free at all, but we all wish it was. Funko released their celebration exclusives. Have you seen these things?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. This is like,
let's rewind.
It's like tonight.
I know. Did you sign up for the lottery? The Funko lottery?
No, I didn't see it.
You better do that, man.
You know,
basically, you go on. I'll send you the link after this.
Yeah, please.
After the show, but you have to sign up for like a lottery, and then you're going to get a time and a day, and that's where you can go to the shop. Because you remember from Anaheim that the shop line was just insane. There was no way you were getting in unless you got this selection. So you apply online; it's free, and I haven't heard back yet, but I hope I get it. So they did this in two waves. There's some stunners in this thing, and at first I thought, I think I'll probably be able to try to resist because I really just want to be smart. Now that I've got my Star Wars office, I'm much more selective about what I'm going to purchase because I need to find a place to display it.
That's right.
And then this happened.
So, part one of the Funko exclusive is Rey on her speeder. And this has kind of been the trend, I guess, that they're going for, you know, having characters on their vehicles, and they did one with Indiana Jones. I think was it New York Comic Con? Maybe
that was San Diego.
San Diego Comic Con. Thank you.
I had him in a Jeep. One up for that, which I still.
Oh no, that was the exclusive of just Indy. But this is the other one. I think for New York Comic Con was.
That was Qui-Gon. Yeah. You're right.
No, well, was it Qui-Gon?
It was because I tried to get one.
The Indy in his Jeep.
Oh, that was there too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were both there. They always have a bunch.
Yeah.
So if you look at the Funko blog, that's linked through our first post about this. As you mentioned, you've got Rey and the speeder, kind of a similar scale to the Han Solo and Tauntaun from Smuggler's Bounty that came out a few months ago.
Uh huh.
See what else is on there?
Yeah. There's let's see. Well, I'm looking at a little slideshow here. The first one that comes up. Well, the one I'm looking at now is it's Qui-Gon Jinn as a ghost.
Uh huh.
That
and we've got Grindin, cool. The Imperial spy from.
Okay, there he is. I'm back on the same one you're on now.
From the Cantina, Han Solo in an action pose, and then Chopper in Imperial disguise. So let's just do this. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to choose from. Let's pretend just for wave one or the first exclusives that they're showing. Not a wave. If you can only pick one, which one are you getting? Let's do the 1, 2, 3 again. That'll be fun. Do you know yet?
I'm torn.
You can only, well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to just pick one from each release, and then we're going to go from there. I'll let you expand. It's your money. Okay, so first one, ready? 1, 2, 3. Chopper.
Han Solo.
Well, wait.
Really?
Oh my gosh. Do you see him? It's the Imperial disguise thing that he always does. Yeah, it's just so ironic how much I've just continually falling in love with Chopper.
No tattoo yet.
Chopper all the way. I Qui-Gon is my favorite Jedi, probably.
Yeah.
But I want the regular. The ghost one doesn't really do much for me. The Han Solo is super cool, as is Grindon. The Rey?
Yeah, Grindon looks cool.
I love Rey.
The Rey is interesting. I think it's cool.
It looks like she doesn't have a mouth. I guess none of the pops really have a mouth, do they?
No, they don't. It's kind of the style. But yeah, I guess Han Solo. I go for Han Solo, I think, because I don't have a Han Solo pop yet. And
I don't think I do.
This one looks pretty cool. Looking around.
I can actually look in my office now and see everything. Yeah, I don't have a Han Solo.
Well, very cool. So moving on to the next part two.
The next wave.
This just ramps everything up. I'm stoked. I'm looking at the one I want right now.
Oh, it's easy for me.
I know what you're going to say, but we're...
Do you? Okay. All right, so let's try this then. Let you tell me...
Should we say it on three again?
Yeah, well, let me find all of them first.
Okay.
Because on our website, we've got the... Okay, so we've got... We should tell everybody who's on here. We've got Hoth Princess Leia.
Yep.
Hooded Jedi Luke. Mm-hmm. Grand Admiral Thrawn. 442nd Clone Trooper. And then they've got the mini Hikaris. In the latest Smuggler's Bounty Rebels one, they had a Chopper one that was pretty cool. Just thought it was pretty fun. Do you know which one you're going to pick for this? Or do you want to...
I do.
Let's try this. We'll just spice it up. We like to spice it up.
You're just changing all over the place, aren't you?
Which one do you think I'm going to pick? And I'm not going to respond until after.
I think you will pick Thrawn.
Okay. Let's see. I think you are going to pick... I want to say Thrawn, but I'm going to say you're going to pick Jedi Luke.
You're right.
Really? And you are right too, sir.
Yeah, see, we knew each other so well.
We do. That Thrawn, I know you're not supposed to covet. But if I only could pick one between this and Chopper, I would say, pick Thrawn.
Is there a limit? Is there a limit if you get chosen to?
I don't know. Let's pick. If you can only pick one. I already pretty much showed that.
Out of your
number one pick, and would you pick the Han Solo action pose or the Jedi Luke?
I want to say Luke.
Really? I didn't know what you were going to say. I thought you were going to say Han for sure.
He looks so cool in his robe with the hood up, which I think is really unique. You don't really put the hood up like that and action stuff. And lightsaber looks like looks cool against the black. Oh, I'm looking right now. Looks cool. Cool.
What's your second choice for part two? Thrawn?
Thrawn. Yeah, definitely Thrawn.
Mine's Hoth Leia.
Really? Oh, that's cool.
Hoth is probably my favorite of everything in Star Wars. Everything that happens in Hoth, just the costumes, the AT-ATs, everything about it. But yeah, I like that Leia a lot. It's pretty neat.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Good, good. Well, let's, speaking of finding things and maneuvering, I was maneuvering the website last night trying to fix this mixer that I've got, and I found the floor plan to Celebration.
Really?
Yeah, it's right there in the show notes for you, or in our little outline for you to look at. But while you're kind of perusing it, I mean, we'll just kind of talk about it together, everybody. So the first floor, the show floor, you've got a huge autographing area, which we will be frequenting more than I originally expected. Next to there is the Celebration store. And then you've got the StarWars.com stage, which I'm sure will be at a lot. And you just got a bunch of stuff. You have to really blow it up to see a little more detail. I'm sure they're going to add to it all the time. The Jedi Training Academy will be there. Diorama Builders. But there's an exclusive pin location, but it's going to be where they go. Now, level two, that's going to be where the intense stuff is, because that's the huge show floor.
Yeah.
Right? That's where everything is.
And the morning queue.
Yeah, and the morning
queue. So don't forget, folks, if you're listening, you're going to Celebration. Level two is where you're going to be going into the morning queue each morning to get in line to get into the show. So make sure that's the floor you go to.
Right. Exactly. Now, level three, we've got a family room. We've got the Rebels Theater. We've got our podcast stage. You see that?
Yep. Yep, I see it.
Now we know where it's going to be. By the fan stage, collector stage. Speed Dating's over there, Bounty Hunt, Star Wars University, kind of a cool concept where different writers talk about the craft. And then we got the behind-the-scenes stage. So that's cool. I mean, and then you've got the main Celebration stage too, which I'm assuming that's where all the big stuff's going to be. So that's cool. That provides some good traffic.
Yep.
And then level 4 is the Galaxy stage. And that's the only thing that's up there.
Don't know what's up there. That's weird. Yeah. I've never heard of the Galaxy stage.
It's
mysterious.
Mysterious indeed. So, what are your initial thoughts?
It's great. It's cool to see this because I don't think we had a floor plan going in.
No.
Originally, we ended up, I remember walking up to the podcast stage room to kind of see where it was at. But then other than that, it was more of like a fly-by-night, just go for it.
Walked around, and I think we just by running from the main stage or the second stage all the way to the podcast stage and just walking around with my pilot that first day, we figured things out.
Yeah.
But I don't even remember how we found out originally about the podcast stage. Oh, wait, I do. Somebody sent us a picture. I think Skywalking Through Neverland. Sarah,
that's right.
There was a picture.
They were something there they'd gone to before.
Yeah, that's right. And they showed where it was going to be.
That's right.
The way it's broken down here on this map, it's to scale, but podcast stage looks like it's a good size room.
Yeah, it definitely looks like it's easy to access. A lot of people can kind of queue up there and be able to. Hopefully fit in. I don't know how you like the seating will be like, but
feel free to too.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool. I mean, it's exciting to see this because it feels a little more real, I guess.
Yeah.
We got things going on and, it feels more like, we kind of know where we're going. I don't feel like I'm like, wait, where do we have to go?
So do you see, the next thing I have sleep overnights?
I saw that.
Some decisions to make.
Oh okay. Boy. You know what? I'm the worst.
No, I mean, I like my sleep.
This is Chick-fil-A and get exactly what I want. It's crazy. I'm the worst decision maker you've ever met.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I think we'll be okay. Well, here's the deal. All right. So I don't know if you clicked on the link or not, but
I did.
Celebration Sleep Overnights are going to be Wednesday the 12th and Thursday the 13th. In other words, right before the 40th anniversary panel and the Last Jedi panel. So here's what they have written down. Starting at 8 p.m. on Wednesday and Thursday, the queues are going to be open. I don't know if people can line up before then. I hope not. Then you're going to have separate wristband queues for each show on the Celebration and Galaxy stages, and also a separate queue for those waiting to access the exhibit hall. So there's going to be a lot of different lines, ways to get in. So the doors for registration and the queue lines stay open till midnight, Wednesday and Thursday. Yeah. And then at midnight, they close the doors. So no one else can come in. But you can stay in there. There's concessions, and the bathroom's going to be open overnight. So that's good. You don't want to smell of urine when you're sleep deprived.
No, that would be horrible.
I think that's on a bumper sticker somewhere. But it says that you can't bring camping cots and no chairs that will larger than will fit into a backpack. So, okay. I don't even know what to do with that.
I can sit on my butt. That's what I can do.
I guess. Well, and then it says you choose to leave after midnight. You're not allowed back in until 5 a.m. the next morning. So they're going to give out wristbands at 6 a.m. So this is basically what it sounds like to me. If you want to be guaranteed to get into either of these panels, you have to sleep in there. And then at 6 a.m. the next day when they start giving out the wristbands, then you can go home and go to your hotel and sleep for a couple hours. And then the show, and then everything opens at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
So, what do you think? With much bravado, we were very openly talking about how we want to do this. Do we want to do this?
You know, it's funny because last year we didn't do the overnight thing or the early morning thing, whatever they had done, the late night pizza phenomenon and whatever you call it. Yeah. I feel like we missed out because it was kind of those things that was like, it sounds exhausting, but also it sounds awesome.
True. I get cranky when I'm tired.
You do?
That's the only time I'm cranky when I'm tired.
Really?
Yes.
I'll tell you how that works out. Yeah.
I'm not too worried. There'll be so much adrenaline. Well, I feel like last year when people got there early, they still got in. So
yeah, but it's different. I mean, this seems like this is different. I mean, my question is, so if you get there at 10, are you guaranteed to get in or not? Or
10, next day. Well, I mean, it's just like last time. Remember, we didn't have a wristband. We were still probably about, 100 or 200 people away from getting into the main area.
Well, we were in the
Men than you second, and I and Adam second, had to go to the next the
second
next
venue.
Room.
Yeah.
So this is kind of my original. Well, you tell me what you're thinking. I'll tell you what I'm thinking. We'll meet somewhere in the middle.
You'll twist my arm and lead me on with toys and magazines and
That's
comics.
Right.
So.
Hey, look, gummy worms. Yeah.
Look at that. No, it's I don't know how to play it. I mean, it'd be cool to do this, but my gut is to say go for it. But my logic
both
says
times?
Don't do it for both days.
Yeah, you're saying don't. So you're saying okay. This is.
What do you think?
This is my thinking. They're both going to be spectacular, and if it was only The Last Jedi, then it would be easy for me. Sure. But I feel like the 40th anniversary is going to be so special and so wonderful that I can't miss it. This is my proposal, Mr. Club. We'll go in there for midnight, and we'll stay in there for hours, and then we'll get our wristband and go back to the hotel, and then come back about 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, whatever, and then be guaranteed to get inside the room for the 40th anniversary show. For The Last Jedi, I don't want to camp out. I love me some Last Jedi, even though I've never seen it or know nothing about it. But I'm only gonna do that to myself once because it's gonna be tricky. And what about you?
I agree with you. I mean, I
want to get there at 6 a.m. the next day, though. I do want to go there at 6 a.m. to get a wristband for The Last Jedi.
Yeah, I mean,
I can wake up early, easy. That's not a problem for me.
Now it's funny because I'm the reverse. I'd rather see The Last Jedi.
Really?
Stage show versus the 40th anniversary.
Wow. Well,
we're in a pickle.
You want to do the Last Jedi one, and we could.
Well, how about this? Why don't we do this?
Let's hear it.
Why don't we just leave it at this, and on the next Road to Celebration show, we'll announce what we're going
to
do.
Oh, so we'll have to
like that.
Okay,
that's it's a cliffhanger.
Ooh, exciting!
Hang on to your seats.
Hold on to your potatoes, Dr. Jones. The wristband thing, there's a nice little entry there about the wristbands too. There's going to be separate wristband cues for each stage. We've talked about that. You only get wristband cues for each day. So if you get one on Friday, you're not guaranteed one for Saturday, whatever.
Yeah.
Two wristbands per day while supplies last. I guess they're just going to, I don't know how they're going to police that, but that's not for me afterwards. It's not my circus, not my monkeys.
There you go.
As they say. So 6 a.m. every day, they're going to start giving out wristbands in each queue. One person put on each person. No extra wristbands given out. Once you have your wristband, you can move to another panel queue, get a second wristband, or go home and pass out or whatever. Then you can, if you don't get the wristband, then you move on to Celebration Experience, Exhibit Hall, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know. That's kind of how that's going. Wristbands also are going to give out right until the panel starts so they don't run out. The behind-the-scenes stage, they're going to have wristbands for four panels. Okay, these are the four panels that are going to have wristbands.
Yeah.
The 40th Anniversary panel, The Last Jedi panel, Rebels on Saturday, and the closing ceremonies on Sunday.
I didn't know Rebels was up there.
There's no wristbands for the podcast stage, apparently. They actually
that's interesting.
I was going to get one so I could hear you talk.
Oh, well, I was going to get one so I could hear you talk.
Oh, well, that's very kind of you. So anything else you want to say before we sign off? I'm loving these things.
I mean, well, I think it's so much fun to do this because, like, as much as we are, like, kind of like, I don't know what to do. You know, it's fun to be able to inform folks, you know, getting on the road to the celebration, being able to inform them what we want to kind of do, inform, you know, them of what each day kind of holds and kind of the things that are up and coming, because they're going to continue to release things, I do assume, but because we're getting closer and closer, it's getting more exciting and each passing day as they start releasing things. And we're going to bring it to you next time too. I think it's going to be even more packed full of fun things to do, and we'll kind of remind you of what we're going to do, but also kind of update you from something we left to kind of threaded out here. And it's going to be fun. It's definitely something I'm looking forward to, and it will definitely be a huge send off for me.
Oh, I agree. It's I guess we didn't actually say to the podcast date is really your last official recording, isn't it? Of this
it
format?
Is. Well, it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So come say your goodbyes and you know.
That's right.
Salutes or whatever.
It's going to be coffee with Corey, not coffee with Kenobi.
There you go.
If I was a graphic designer, I would make some sort of a fun logo like that. So our next show next week with this is today, of course, the Road to Celebration with 3 weeks to go. Our next show, we have a special guest. Steve Sansweet is going to join us.
Sweet.
And talk about Rancho Obi-Wan and its presence at Celebration. So we are pumped about that. It's always, always, always fun to talk to Steve. So thanks, everybody, for joining us here for Mr. Club. This is Dan Z. And we couldn't have any of this happen without our sponsor. This episode of Coffee with Kenobi was sponsored by the Star Wars digital card trader collecting app from Topps. Celebrating its second year, as Corey mentioned earlier, the app is free to download from iTunes or Google Play. You can collect and trade everything from legendary 1977 Star Wars cards to new cards featuring exclusive content from Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, and much more, all from the comfort of your mobile device, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for.
Chewie, get us out of here!
If you would like to respond to our question of the show, have a comment, or just want to say hello, send us an email or MP3 at feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com. Or if you have a specific question or comment for either of us individually, email us at danz@coffeewithkenobi.com or coreyc@coffeewithkenobi.com or visit us at coffeewithkenobi.com and click on the Contact Us section or comment on one of the stories featured on the site. If you enjoy the show, please write a review in iTunes or Stitcher. You can also like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/coffeewithkenobi, as well as keep up to date at our Twitter feed @coffeewithkenobi. You can also find us on Tumblr at coffeewithkenobi.tumblr.com. If you enjoy the jazz music, the album is Eye to Eye by Steve Torak.
Give the evacuation code signal.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along. Move along.